saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
All right, everybody, we are back. It is Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. Dan Canobio, Chris Algieri for our weekend preview edition. Loaded episode, man. Breaking news with Jaime Munguia and his PED test. Teofimo Lopez got fired on his day off. We have an ultimate preview of this weekend between some big fights at 168. Man, never a dull moment in this sport, Chris. Once again, I was like, what are we going to talk about besides these fights this weekend? And then Teofimo goes on a tweet storm, and then Jaime Munguia pops for PEDs.
Yeah, this is why we do 2 shows a week. And I remember when we first started out, we were doing, you know, we had our 1 show a week, and that was very manageable and easy. And then, like, we were kicking around the idea of doing 2 shows a week. Like, we probably got to do 2. And we could probably do 3 at this point because boxing is on such a heater, dude. There's so much information all the time. You wake up and, like, the boxing world has changed. And there's things to talk about almost every other day now. So here we are. 2nd show of the week good, and ton yeah. to talk about.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. 2 times
and
a week
in between.
Right. 2 times a week was once we hooked up with PPV.com, our presenting sponsor. Some big fights coming up this summer, whether it's Tank Roach 2, whether it's Pacquiao Barrios, whether it's Fundora Zoo, they will all be on PPV.com streaming crystal clear. Join us in the live interactive chat. Follow along with us on social media for those fight weeks. We love going out to Vegas. And that, I'm getting the Vegas itch. We talked about that in the last episode. I have seen a doctor. He said, go to Vegas. Everything will clear up.
I've never had a doctor say go to Vegas.
He said everything will clear up there. Once you touch down in that desert, the itch goes away, and you don't even need a cream. You don't need a shot in your ass. Speaking of that, Jaime Munguia, I don't know if that was a shot in the ass.
Shots fired.
Shots fired from Dan. We'll start there. It's the newest breaking news. Jaime Munguia fails a PED test, adverse finding in a VADA test following his win over Bruno Saras. Testosterone metabolites, which, Chris, you'll clue us in on what the heck that is. He has 10 days to request analysis of the B sample. Has a B sample ever come back clean? I don't think so.
Nope.
Very good
First
chance.
First of all, it's metabolites, by the way, not metabolites.
No, it's metabolites. All right. I'm the one with the degree. I have the degrees.
Metabolites.
I don't know. Metabolites.
It's metabolites. Say the other word, Dan. Read the other word.
Testosterone.
No. The one before that. The E word.
Metabolites.
Now I want to see your pronunciation of the other one, the EX one.
I don't have an EX one.
No, you don't have that?
No, wait, what are you talking about?
Okay, so it's exogenous testosterone metabolites.
Yeah, I don't have that one.
And I was waiting for you to be like exogenous.
Isn't hydrogenous when you have zero body parts down below?
Like no, that's androgynous.
Who's the one that got punched in the head for 20 years?
Apparently you.
No, I just grew up on Long Island.
Yeah.
West Virginia.
Yeah, that all tracks. Androgynous is what you're looking for.
Jaime Munguia tests positive for hydrogenous testosterone metabolites.
Oh, right. Man.
Well,
amazing.
So laughing. We can laugh, but Munguia's team is not laughing.
No.
Team Reynoso has a lot of questions to answer because this is like his 6th or 7th guy.
You know who also isn't laughing? Saras.
Yeah, he put out a statement and said, I've been cheated. I can't believe this guy stepped into the ring. I beat his ass and I gave him a rematch. It's going to be a no contest. We've seen this. It's going to get overturned unless something unbelievably happens. And it's going to be a no contest. But
you think Saras could get a third fight?
I mean, what's the recourse for him? It's like a third fight or...
Yeah, make more money. I think it's a good. That's a good look for him.
I mean, he's probably going to push for that because, or he might just say, like, I want to jump him in the rankings or, you know, give me, a plant fight, give me a Canelo fight, give me a this, that, and the other. Mm. But back to Munguia. testosterone in the system, not good. this is a bad look for Munguia. It's his bad first timing. Failed drug test. Bad timing. He was coming off of that that win where, you know, he wasn't throwing as many punches. It was like this new Munguia where he was a little more safety first,
reserved.
What's going on here? And once again, another failed PED test. It's rampant in this sport. I hate to tell you guys.
Yeah. So I'm going to give the same response that I always give. And this is the response that's actually put me in hot water several times before. I'm not surprised, guys. I'm never surprised when people get caught. I'm really not. Because, no, actually, I am. I'm surprised when they get caught. I'm not surprised when people are doing it because I know guys are doing it. So I'm not surprised. And I'm not taking a knock at Munguia. I like Munguia. I've always liked Munguia. But it's just, you get to a certain level in this sport, man. And it's just way more common than anyone wants to understand or accept. Like your favorite fighter's probably on drugs, dude. Sorry. I know the fans are going to get they're going to get their panties in a bunch looking at hearing this, but it's true, man. And you're seeing more and more of it. Now, that being said, this situation, Jaime Munguia, exogenous testosterone metabolites in his urine post-fight drug test. You know you're giving a sample after a fight. So that's usually the easiest, if you are trying to get over the system and use PEDs, that's the easiest one to avoid, right?
Yeah, you think.
Because you would think. You're not going to use anything like an exogenous testosterone or testosterone quote unquote booster or any kind of PED that's going to show up in urine. Urine is like the most basic testing protocol. So if it's finding, if you're getting caught with that, that leads me to believe there's some kind of tainted issue supplement or that Jaime was going outside of his team. Because listen, he's got a good team of people who you would think would understand. Listen, if they were trying to cheat, they would be a bit smarter than this. They wouldn't get caught like this. Makes me think it's accidental. But again, you are responsible for everything you put in your body as a professional athlete. There will be repercussions to this, and it doesn't matter how it got there. It's not supposed to be there. So, yeah, man, it's a tough situation. But like I said, I mean, this is a multi-million-dollar team. This is like a high level guy. For him to get caught with testosterone in his urine is very interesting and very weird. You wouldn't expect that.
Peeling that back a little bit, because this is the first we're talking about this, but you say like you're not surprised, you're not shocked that he popped, but also that it could be accidental. I'm a little confused on how you can come to that realization. So like, what does that mean? If it was accidental but they still showed up, like, what does that mean? He took a supplement of a testosterone supplement from like a GNC or something over the counter that he thought was fine, but it wasn't?
Possible. It could be. Listen, guys have big entourages and you got guys all around you. And I remember being with teams and guys kept hiring new people. I'm like, what are we doing? Why do we need a breath specialist? Why do we need a cosmic guru? Why do we need this nutritionist when you already have nutrition? Again, the guys can always add these people to their team. And then everyone wants to be the guy who gives you the magic elixir. Like, oh, this is what you're missing. Here it is. And a fighter, you know, listen, fighting is hard. You want every advantage possible. You got this guru who's sitting next to you being like, hey, man, you know what you really need? You need what's in this. Mm. And then unfortunately, what's in this is on the banned list and you end up popping. So there's situations like that. We saw that with the Ryan Garcia, you know, his entourage leading up to the Haney fight. It was just all these people just orbiting Ryan. And who knows who's touching what, giving what, handing what. Yeah, I mean, so that, again, when I say I'm not surprised, yeah, I think a lot of guys are actually using on purpose. But also, there's a lot of guys who have a bunch of fools around them in terms of their camps and are not looking out for their best interest, not doing their due diligence and making sure that the products that are going into their fighters' bodies are up to snuff. But unfortunately, the fighters are the guys that are going to pay for it.
Speculating right now is what we're doing because there's not a lot of information out. A lot of alleged leads we're going to use here. Speculation. You know, Munguia, you have me thinking about these big camps, these big entourages. You know, Munguia doesn't shock me, doesn't strike me as a guy that has a big camp, but he does change trainers and does change teams quite often. I mean, how many trainers has he had? How many different teams has he had? So therefore, you might have a new person in here. You might have a guy handing you a bottle of something. So we're speculating. I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. It doesn't matter. It showed up in the urine. It's on the VADA test, on the VADA list. It's a failed test. He's going to have to make a statement. Eddie Reynoso is going to have to make some type of statement. He's been asked about this. This is now maybe the fifth or sixth guy bad track record. Listen, these are facts. I'm not going to just not talk about it because I have a good relationship with Canelo or Canelo's the cash cow or I like Eddie Reynoso as a person. Like, come on, man. It's Canelo Alvarez with the clenbuterol. It's Valdez. Ryan Garcia, it should have an asterisk next to it because he was not training with Reynoso when he got the Osterine, right? It wasn't Reynoso, no. Julio Cesar Martinez, Luis Neri, and now Jaime Munguia. That's a lot. Those are some big names. And I don't know if you're a trainer and you can't see every single thing your fighter's doing, but it's kind of like you're the leader. You're the de facto head coach of this person or this brand. So it falls on you. It falls on the trainer. Like, you get all the glory when your fighter wins. And when your fighter loses, the trainer usually gets thrown under the bus. Or if a fighter fails a drug test, you look at the team, the trainer. These are fair questions to ask. Like, what is going on with Eddie Reynoso in his camps?
I think Eddie needs to change out all the water. The sinks in their gym, because if you have that many guys, and those are all the top guys, dude. Those are all high level fighters. It's not like you got guys who are fighting on club shows popping. You got world-class fighters and guys who are coming to you that are consistently popping. And it's been over how many years? Because the Canelo was what? That was like 7-8 years ago, right?
Yeah, that prevented the rematch of the Canelo Triple G fight from happening right away. So we're talking 2017, 2018?
Yeah, so we're looking at 8 years ago. Like, in the last 10 years, we've had all these major fighters pop. And I've been there for a lot of these fights. The Valdez fight, like, I worked that fight. I remember
that fight week? Dude, crazy
fight week. And having him sit across from the table from us being like, I don't know how this got in my system. This is not
still allowed
me
to fight.
All right. And they still allowed him to fight, which is
Arizona,
crazy.
Arizona, baby.
Yeah. It falls on these fighters, man. And it falls on the fighters, but like, if it's always the same gym and it's always the same camp, like, what is going on? I wonder what. Maybe so gyms all do their own things, and I've been in these like big mega gyms, and we're seeing more of those now where the gyms become more like teams, right? You see that with Robert Garcia. I think he's kind of like the first one to do that. Robert Garcia Boxing Academy, it's almost like a boxing team, and they've got all these guys, high level, all levels are there. You see it with Bomac and Crawford, his team. They've got a team of fighters down there. And now you're seeing with Eddie Reynoso, he's got this team aspect to boxing, which is kind of a foreign thing for boxers because it's usually a lone wolf situation. And some of them have sponsors that have supplements that are provided by the teams, supplements that are provided by the facility, by the gym itself. Some of them have food that's provided. So there's a link somewhere. And now I'm obviously being very, very nice. I'm saying that this is not on purpose and this is an accidental thing. So there's a gap somewhere where whatever the issue is getting into these guys' systems. My issue is that all these guys are popping for different things. So it's not like I said, like the water fountain is tainted with, you know, clenbuterol, because guess what? This guy's popping for different things. This guy's popping for that, a stimulant, a test booster, a metabolite of something, or EP, whatever. Like, so you're getting, these guys are failing for all these different things. So I don't know. It's a lot of questions. And like you said, we're just speculating now because we don't have that many details.
Yeah. Once or twice is an accident. 5-6 times becomes a pattern. But there's a lot of reasons why. There's a lot of things. And I don't know if Eddie will be asked. I don't know how he'll answer. You know, it's just been going on for 6-7 years. So I'm sure someone has stuck a camera in his face and asked him. And I'm sure he's danced around it. I probably could find that on the internet somewhere. He's not going to say much. But it's not going to stop people from speculating, especially the anti-Canelo fans or just... I mean, boxing is such a segregated sport in terms of... you know, fan bases, and whenever you can go after Canelo or go after our team, Eddie Reynoso, the fans are going to do it. and especially with PEDs. So, yeah, I don't know what this means for Saras, who is the victim here. You know, did make a nice pretty penny on the rematch fighting in Saudi. So I'm not finding too much remorse for him there. But does he get a third fight with Munguia? Does Munguia get suspended? Does Saras, you know, these guys are never taken care of in all of this. Is the opponent of the guy that did PEDs or who was especially not a big name. Like, it's not like someone's going to step in and do the right thing and be like, all right, Saras, you get Plant Resendez winner, or you get, you get Mobili, or you get one of these top guys now. No, he's probably going to have to fight tooth and nail to get a no contest, fight tooth and nail to get a rematch or get another big fight. That's the sad part of this whole thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But that comes on Saras and his team as a B-side, as a, you know, the B-side, you know, a guy who doesn't have the power to control these situations, to go out there and get the word out. I like the statement he put out. You know, I beat you fair and square. You know, I gave you a rematch and you had to cheat to beat me. I like that. I like the idea they're putting out the narrative that, listen, I'm here. I'm not going to just go into the darkness and you're never going to hear about me again. I think it's a really smart move on him. He's going to have to go out there and create a narrative that he belongs at the highest level. Like, listen, I knocked this guy out. Then he uses drugs and he beats me by decision. What are we doing? I'm on the level. I need a big fight. Really, I would push to fight him. Get a third fight, because I think that's probably the biggest money fight. And if not that, like, all right, I should take his spot in the rankings. Whatever fight he was going to get, I should get.
Yeah. He was going to get some big fights.
Exactly. So
he still will get big fights. This is not going to change anything for Munguia. We've seen that time and time again. It's not going to change. If anything, he's going to get a 6-month suspension.
Yep.
What does that do?
That's probably exactly what's going to happen, which is probably he wouldn't fight in 6 months anyway. So that's boxing,
baby.
Yeah,
he said, Saras said, I went to Mexico and knocked out Munguia fair and square in December. I was gracious enough to give him a rematch in May. He knew he could not beat me on a level playing field. I trust that this result will be overturned immediately. I don't know if he can beat him, though. That's the thing. Like, if he lost to him on PEDs, can he beat him?
He was losing. He was losing to him when, you know,
clean, dirty.
He was clean.
That.
He was losing to him before he knocked him out. So, I keep that in mind too.
Yeah. So we'll see what goes on. There's not a lot of information on this. There was just what Munguia tested positive for, the B sample stuff. We know that's going to come back, and with the same results. And hopefully it's changed to no contest. Hopefully justice prevails for Saras.
I'm wondering what, like, if it was a, like, it says exogenous testosterone metabolites. Like, I wonder what drug was used. Because you got me thinking. You mentioned all those fighters, and I started looking up all the things they failed for. Luis Neri, he failed for zilpaterol, which is essentially a growth hormone for cattle. To pack on extra pounds, you know, before they go to slaughter, which makes me think that, yeah, that one sounds like tainted meat to me, but, you know, but who knows? Oscar Valdez, he popped for phentermine, which is a stimulant, and used for weight loss, which that's not an anabolic. I don't think those are as deadly as when you start using steroids and other kinds of peds. Those are more forgivable for me.
Yeah.
And then you got Canelo, who fell for clenbuterol, which is a steroid. So I'm wondering what class of drug this pop test was, because that'll matter too. Like you said, like, yeah, so all these guys are in the same camp, but they're all feeling different things. It's very, very strange.
Yeah, see with Vada, I mean, good job on Vada for, this is what we talk about in boxing. A lot of times these guys are taking PEDs and skirting the test. So good job on Vada for doing the drug testing and finding something. You know, we can always say all the negatives, but they found it. And that's, I mean, it sucks. Like, I'd rather, I mean,
they found it and they didn't let it go under the rug.
Right.
They brought it to light.
I would rather Munguia not do PEDs, but, you know, at least there's a agency out there that is catching these guys, shaming them, and hopefully fighters out there think twice. Let's move on to another soap opera. Teofimo Lopez.
Now, Lopez. So I was leading the charge on the drug stuff because that's my stuff. Because obviously, what did you say?
Metabolites.
Right. Not your area of expertise. Now, Twitter is your area of expertise. So please, the floor is yours, Dan, because I don't know the exact details of what has been going on. As we all know, I'm not a Twitter guy. So
I don't even know. I tried to put together a timeline. I put out a video. You know, just kind of going through what has happened over the last couple of months, especially the last couple of days. But obviously, it starts with Teofimo calling out Boots. He wants that fight. Turkey tweeting back in January 18th that he would also be interested in putting together that fight. And Boots has been calling out, Teofimo has been calling out Boots to fight at 147. We don't hear anything from Boots' side. Eddie Hearn leaks out a few things. He might not want to fight at 147 anymore. Barrios is fighting Pacquiao. Norman is fighting Jin Sasaki. He might finally go to 154. Then Teofimo puts out a tweet saying that Boots has declined. He doesn't want to fight me. I may have gotten fired. That part was weird. He put out a tweet calling Turkey Alashik a dictator. D-I-C-K tater. And
that's aggressive.
Deleted it. Turkey saw it probably. Dan Rayfield then reports that the Boots fight isn't happening. They've pivoted to Teofimo versus Haney. Haney's side agreed. Teofimo's side agreed, even though Teofimo was getting paid less than he would have for a Boots fight. Dan Rayfield also reports that the fight is in jeopardy with Haney now because of the tweet storm. Apparently, Turkey and his people did not like some of the things that Teofimo tweeted. Teofimo then starting to burn bridges, tweeting even more. I'll fight Turkey Alashik, puts together a fake fight poster. I've been fired. It's just bizarre. And I followed this stuff all day, and I was like trying to make sense of it all. Are you caught up? Do you get it, Chris?
I don't get it because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but that's kind of the point, right? That's why we're talking about it. And that is what we're used to with Teofimo Lopez, who
self-sabotager,
as talented as he is, he loves shooting himself in the foot.
Like, how do you get, like, you got fired on your day off, like classic Friday line. How do you, like, first off, a tweet you would think shouldn't prevent a fight of that this magnitude from happening, like the Teofimo Haney fight. You dumb tweets, but how is this going to work? Where if you just let me get this straight though, Teofimo should not have tweeted that. Anyone, you can't tweet about your boss or tweet about someone that's about to pay you. Anyone, your superior, and expect to get results or expect not to get quote unquote fired or reprimanded. But sports are different than real life. You would think that Turkey and his people would reprimand Teofimo, but still go through with this because it's business. And don't take it personal. It's business. There's a lot of money to be made or not money to be made. Just whatever they're doing over there. It's a big event between Teofimo and Haney. That part was a little strange to me. I didn't understand that. But maybe what it's more the story is that Teofimo didn't like that he was going to get paid less to fight Haney than he would to fight Boots. That's one aspect of this.
I mean, that makes sense, no? Less to fight Haney than to fight Boots. Boots is a more dangerous fight.
What's the bigger fight? Like, there's a lot of things here. And Boots, too. Like, this guy, I'm defending him and for a while now and trying to figure him out. Like, are you going to 154 or are you not? I don't understand why you wouldn't want to fight Teofimo. I think Boots is making a big mistake.
That's not a perfect fight for him. I mean,
right?
Yeah, because he first of all, as good as Boots is, Teofimo has a much bigger profile. He's a former undisputed lightweight champion of the world. He's a two-division world champion. Boots is a unified champion at 147, but he has no one on his resume anywhere near the caliber of Teofimo Lopez. I don't care what weight class Teofimo is most known for. It's still like he's an active young guy in his prime. Also, you're bigger. He's coming to your weight class. There's so many reasons why if you're going to get a super fight, if you're Boots, Teofimo's a perfect guy. I mean, granted, he's super talented. And listen, on any given night, I really truly believe Teofimo Lopez can beat literally almost anyone in the world because the guy is just phenomenal.
Around his weight, right?
And when he locks in, he's something else. So it makes me think, like, well, is Boots worried about Teofimo Lopez? Do they see something in Teofimo and his style that could be an issue? Or the flip side of that, playing devil's advocate, is Boots holding out? And I think there's two reasons he could be holding out. One, there's a very limited time for how long he can spend at 147. There's a limited amount of fights that he can take at 147. And if it's not a world title fight, does he want to take a super fight for money right now if it's going to cost him the Undisputed Championship of 47? Maybe they are looking directly at, I need a Ryan Norman fight. I need a Mario Barrios Canelo winner.
Those aren't happening anytime soon.
That's why there's holes in my thought process here. And then the other is that, are they waiting for the Ryan Garcia sweepstakes? Because that's a much bigger money fight than Teofimo Lopez and a lot less dangerous.
Yeah, this is the problem. Not a problem, but this is when there's endless options now and opportunities, and there's no firewalls. There's no walls being put up between these fights like in years past. Every fight out there is possible.
Everything's on the table. Everything's on the table.
So it makes our job harder to be like, no, that's not it. Because like, you could dream up any opportunity. Like Boots can say, I'll wait for Ryan Garcia because that fight can be made. There's no such thing as promotion squabbles anymore when Turkey's in the mix. But going back to Boots and like, I think he's making a mistake. It's like, dude, you can beat Teofimo. It might not be for a unification, and his dad, you go to watch his Boozy Ennis's interviews. All he talks about is unifications. Brian Norman's fighting Jin Sasaki in June. Barrios is fighting Pacquiao in July. Best case scenario, you might be able to get the winners of that in December. So for Boots, that means you're not going to fight until December. Not the craziest thing because he fought in April, but you're going to be waiting there. And then there's nothing there for you at 147. Maybe a mandatory defense, which is not a big fight. You've slogged through your career now with these Karens and these defenses and some of the Lipinets of the world. No disrespect to him. It's just like, these weren't big fights for you, which you deserve big fights. This is a big one. Beat down on Teofimo. There's a lot of storylines here. There's the whole race aspect, which I hate, but it's part of it. There's people out there thinking that Boots is turning this down because he doesn't want to give Teofimo a payday against Black Fighter. I don't believe that at all.
I don't know. People who say that, I don't understand what that means. Listen, you say something out of pocket like that, and it's directed at me and my people, I have the chance to punch you in the face. I'm taking that, dude. I get to beat you up in front of everybody, embarrass you, and hurt your career. Take that opportunity.
Exactly. I mean, there's that aspect to it. But if it's a belts versus big fight thing, I think Boots needs to really look at himself in the mirror, look at his team, and be like, I'm 27, 28 years old. Names are bigger than belts. At this point, you already became unified and it was very admirable, but you looked like a skeleton before you head onto the stage to weigh in against Danny Onis. A name, Teofimo, over a belt, over a Norman, over a Barrios. Come on, man. Like, there's no one out there that's going to fault
you. Dan, it's also a check.
Huge
names,
check.
Names are bigger than belts, and a lot of times, I mean, I'm not one of those people. I love my belt. My belt is very important to me, but checks, money matters. Bank accounts matter.
Why are you doing
your life? Life after boxing matters. We are prize fighters.
Right. Why are you in this brutal sport for pride, just to say you're unified, or to make a lot of money and pride? And like, you can do both. That's beautiful. He has a chance, Boots, to do that. But with taking out Teofimo, I don't know what the Ryan Garcia stuff is in there. He's tweeting at Turkey as well, calling him a visionary. And, you know, he has hand surgery, which I didn't even put on the thing here. That's a lot of hand surgeries for Ryan Garcia. I don't know if that's a legitimate injury, the severity of it, or is that him trying to save face? Says he was injured in the lead up to the Rolly fight. You know, he threw 18 punches a round, which is down from his 49 per round. I don't know. Everything Ryan Garcia does at this point is like a PR thing. And like, he put out this statement and he put that out and it read like, hey, this is why I looked horrible. It was because of my hand.
And it makes you think, like, is that Ryan actually doing that, or is that his PR team putting that out there? Like,
both.
Yeah, that's sort of like, yeah, I don't know. He's more of a business than like a fighter at this point, you know, because there's so much money swirling around him. I don't know, man.
Kind of went off a tangent there with Ryan, but that was also in the news. And he's having hand surgery. It's been second or third hand injury.
Is it always the right? Because this is the right hand.
Well, he had that injury with in the leading into the kickboxing event that got canceled. That's what something they brought
right.
up.
That was the right hand. It was a wrist, right? I think it was his wrist.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely surgery. That's not good. And we talk about Shakur Stevenson's hands all the time, but we don't talk about Ryan Garcia's hands. And yeah, I'm sure it is an injury, but I also read it as, here's trying to show the public that, you know, that fight wasn't the real Ryan, and the reason why he looked so bad was because of that. Yeah, so that's the latest with Ryan Garcia, a little aside there. But back to Teofimo's antics. It's like a timeline. It's like a three-headed monster with Teofimo calling for Boots, which I find admirable. Boots apparently doesn't want it. Teofimo Haney, I hope, is they go back to the drawing board there, because that's something we've been calling for a while, but just because of the size. You know, you sent me a picture of Teofimo and Mayweather. So he was at Mayweather's gym, and you could see Mayweather's not a big guy.
No.
And Teofimo's smaller than him.
Yeah.
So I never liked this Teofimo Boots fight. I never was for it. Teofimo Haney, not as exciting, doesn't have all the juicy little storylines, but it's still like has some history, and it's still a good fight.
There's great storylines in that fight. I love that fight. I think stylistically it's a good fight. I think, you know, they have history. The trash talk is going to be great. They do not like each other. They're for the same size. They both were 35 pounders. Now they're at 40. Now they're going to fight at 44. I don't know. I like that fight. And I know I say it all the time about how Teofimo is not big. I know. I'm sure our listeners are like, this guy always says that. That picture with Floyd, I was like, all right, this is what I've been talking about, guys. Like, people have not been around Teofimo Lopez. He is not a big guy. He's not a big 40 pounder. So going to 47 is a big, big stretch. Not saying he can't do it, because he can punch and he's very, very technical and skillful. But I don't know, man. That might be a bridge too far.
Yeah, we've talked about this so many times. It's a bridge too far. Yeah. It's, I mean, I get it. It's Boots, Teofimo. It's like a fight you never even thought about. It's got a lot of the lineal stuff.
I don't hate that fight either, by the way. I don't hate it.
I would watch.
I don't hate that fight. There are things that T.O. does that I could see giving Boots an issue, especially because Boots isn't always on. Actually, neither one of them is. So you don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's frustrating with Boots. Like, to figure out what you want to do, man. Are you 147? Are you 154? Do you want big fights? Do you want title fights? Like, if you go to 154, say all right, you're done, you leave 147, you don't fight Teofimo, you better be fighting a Virgil Ortiz, a big name at 154, a titleist at 154.
I mean, there's plenty of big names there, dude. Plenty of big names.
Or we're going to be on your ass once again, because it's just a head-scratching move once again for Boots. And Hearn, I guess, is advising him. His dad advising him. The Teofimo, man, what a just crazy man. His Twitter timeline, it's just wild. Like, we've seen guys tweet at Turkey. We've seen him delete it. We've seen him apologize. Shakur, we've heard some things that some fighters don't like Saudi Arabia. Like, I've heard Boots doesn't want to fight there. You know, David Benavidez says he has zero interest in fighting over there, likes fighting in the U.S. But never did I see like a guy stick with it as much as Teofimo did Tuesday night.
Just stands on business. Stands on business.
I guess. Like,
I think we're gonna have to Donald Trump Teofimo Lopez and just take Twitter away from him, because he's the Twitter fingers are causing him too much financial distress.
Bro, it was hilarious. He posted a picture of him homeless saying that, like, I can't find a fight. It's not like clever. It's not clever. It's just
dude's a character.
A lot. He is a
character. We live in a world of cringe, though. Cringy sells. We see this on social media. The cringiest shit gets the most play. And it's unfortunate. It's lame, but it is what it is.
When I first met him, when he first came, I did my first interview with him when he was 10-0, 11-0. He was like 20 years old, not this version of Teofimo. And he was telling me off camera how much he can't stand Ryan Garcia because of how cringy he is, the pretty boy, internet videos, fake. Another thing he told me about Devin Haney, I don't like Devin Haney because he's fake. And now look what Teofimo is. He's doing their games.
Dude, how much more money has Haney and Ryan made?
More than him.
Exactly. Way more. He, for his talent level, he's the least paid guy of this whole group. You know, you got guys, he's in the same orbit with Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, and Gervonta Davis. Those guys have all made tens of millions of dollars.
What do they all have in common? Not signing the top rank.
They're not Simon top rank, yes. But listen, but then Teofimo has an opportunity with Turkey, and he blows that up too.
Yeah.
So, you know,
it's just him. I mean, it's a common denominator is that Teofimo is very hard to work with. Top Rank will tell you that. Turkey now will tell you that. He just shoots himself in the foot constantly. And you can't deny his talent. I think a lot of the people, I was reading some replies. It's like, he's a self-sabotager. I love watching Teofimo in the ring. I'm speaking for some fans out there. Love watching. He's a sublime talent. Love watching him in the ring. But all the other stuff is pretty bad. And somebody needs to step in and be like, bro, what are you doing? Like, now you're taking money out of our pockets, his team. Be like, how are you disrespecting Turkey? Like, these guys go out of their way to tweet at him, and it's just like anyone would do that in this situation. Like, I see Ryan Garcia tweet at Turkey. It's like, if someone was handing you this much money, you're going to look at them in a different light than someone else would. So it's like wild that he would take that route. That's the latest there. Anything lastly on Teofimo? Or can we move on?
No, I just hope that he gets active. I want a guy like that who's that good, who's had such an up and down career, and yet he's only 27 years old. I just hope we see him in the ring soon, because the more he's in the ring, the less he's on his phone tweeting. We can see him actually doing things that we want to see and not the other shit.
If he goes from a Boots Haney to then like some Claggett type, no offense to Steve Claggett, then that's bad. Like, he's in big fight mode. He is a champ at 140. I mean, there's a Gary Russell fight. Yep. There's a Puelo mm-hmm. winner against who's Puelo fighting? Puelo's fighting in July at the
Shakur. Oh, he's fighting Matias.
Love that fight.
Subra Matias, good fight.
Yeah, I don't think Teofimo's trying to unify 140. He's looking for the biggest tests. Let's go to the fight previews. There is some fights this weekend over on Amazon Prime, regular Prime. Caleb Plant is the main event against Armando Resendiz. Jamal Charlo is back for the first time since November of 2023, fighting Thomas Lamana, also known as Cornflake. And we'll start with Plant. Plant Resendiz, Caleb Plant 2-2 over his last four fights, Chris. But it's how he's perceived, and it's who he fought, and it's how he fought them, which makes him a fan favorite, which makes him one of the most respected fighters in boxing, which makes him, you know, 2-2, you would say, all right, this guy's getting written off. But no, people want to watch Caleb Plant because it's more than just the record. It's how he's fought, who he's fought, and how he carries himself. I'm looking forward to watching Plant. Anytime he fights, I'm going to tune in.
He's one of the most relevant non-active fighters in the world. The guy is not active. In the last 3 years, was he fought twice?
And three times, because he fought Eli Sekbak. Did you see that video?
So
he's amazing at putting people in check.
Yeah, check. Well, they I think they call him the enforcer now. He's like the self-described, or, you know, enforcer of the sport now. The guy talk about standing on business. That guy stands on business.
He went right up to Eli Sekbak, was like, "You're a rat. I don't like what you did." Blah blah blah.
What was it? What was the issue?
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of Eli Sekbak. I think that guy is a leech. I think he is not a reporter. He just is a guy that will team up. He's a fan with a camera. He's like big time fan of Ryan Garcia, big time fan of Tank, over the top, to the point where he trash talks Haney. Like, come on, that's not what media should do. Like, there's some blurry lines in boxing media in terms of like how it operates compared to other sports, but Ellie just completely oversteps it by being
blurry lines is basically what boxing is. Boxing is a lot of blurry.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of blur. A lot of blur.
But one last thing on Ellie Sekbak, because I just want to get this off my chest. He he goes and he's part of like the Tank entourage, and he'll go way over the top with praising Tank or praising Ryan Garcia because it allows him to get access to the team and allows him to be part of their crew during fight weeks. So then I went to his YouTube. I was like, all right, there's got to be a payoff for this. If you're going to take the brunt of it from fight fans who could see right through some of your tweets and over the top bias, unbiased biasness towards Tank and all these guys, you better be getting like millions of views, and it better be like paying off for you monetarily, because that's what a sellout is. You sell out to make a lot of money. I went to his YouTube, and it's like 1,000 views with him and Tang. Like, I don't understand his business model. I don't understand half the things he does. I get that he's a pioneer in the sport, and he's one of the first YouTube guys in boxing. He has close to 1 million subscribers on YouTube, but he'll just throw anything up there on YouTube, and I don't get it.
I don't follow his stuff. I just know Ellie personally because I knew everyone knows Robert Garcia. But I knew him from like back in 2010 when I was in California with Robert Garcia's camp. So I know him personally. Whenever I see him, I talk to him, you know, at length.
He's changed since then.
Yeah, and so I just know him personally. I don't, like I said, I don't follow his stuff. I like Ellie, but maybe you should just grab him, ask him what his business model is. Just talk to him.
Hey, bro, like, what? What's your deal? Like, I know you would throwing everything on YouTube. I get that, like, without even a title sometimes on his YouTube page. As someone that's in boxing media, I'm a little flabbergasted by what he does. And like, he calls himself reporting, but you're not reporting. You're a fan. Like, you're taking shots at Haney. I think that's what it was. He takes shots at Haney all the time. He takes shots at fighters. He must have said something about Plant or said something about a fighter that Plant didn't like. And Plant's like, dude, all you don't play it down the middle. Like, you criticize fighters, but then you spend all your time around talking to them. And a lot of fighters responded to the tweet like, yeah, I don't like what he's been doing lately. In 2010, he was a different dude. I remember meeting him real early too. Like, he made his name by with the Lakers. He was an NBA. He had a lot of stuff with Kobe. Like, really cool content with Kobe. Then he got into boxing, and I don't know, just taking a weird turn for him. And I hope he does good.
I'm gonna call you Tangent Dan today. You're just going off on Ryan Garcia, Ellie Sackback.
Ellie's been annoying me for a while now. His tweets are.
Let's right the ship here and talk about the fights this weekend. Caleb Plant. His opponent is tough, dude. He's a tough guy, but I mean, Plant should be able to handle him. But we saw in the McCombie fight that if you can get Plant into a fist fight, you know, get him to, you know, to trade, you know, he can be susceptible. So, and this guy can punch. He's a Mexican. He's durable. He's gonna come to fight. If he can make it a fight, make it a, you know, a brawl, that's his only shot. But for the most part, I think Caleb Plant goes out there, boxes his kid's head off, and probably gets a stoppage late.
Yeah, -2500 favorite is Caleb Plant.
This is a setup card. This is an entire setup card to make sure that Charlo can get to the finish line, can get to the starting line of Caleb Plant if both these guys win, which they're going to.
Right, because that was another altercation that Caleb Plant got himself into. Is back in 2023, I think it was Spence Crawford backstage. Yeah, Charlo grabbed the beard of Plant, pulled on it, tugged on it really hard, which don't do that.
Unspoken man code, you get slapped in the face. But you didn't punch him. You don't touch a man's beard.
And he was with his wife. He said he was around his peers, and he said, don't do that again. And what does Charlo do? He said he pulled on it even harder, second time. So therefore, Plant slapped him, chaos ensues.
One grab is enough for a slap. Two, Plant was being nice.
Right. So, like, these guys mess with Plant. Like, it's not him. I don't think Plant ever seeks out these types of things. He's a target. Like, even Ryan Garcia, like, targeted him, and he threw a
beat on
Ryan
Garcia. I don't start fights. I end fights.
Well, he did that to Durrell. Ended that one of the best or most tweeted about celebrations, the digging of the grave. I mean, it was stone cold. That was pretty brutal.
Ice in his veins.
That was bad. That's just what Plant will do. Like, he'll go and beat a Durrell like that. You know, the fight with Canelo. He fought Canelo at his peak. I think that was peak Canelo. Yeah, and gave him some issues early, but ultimately Canelo took over late. The Benavidez fight, he went out on his shield. So when I talk about him being 2-2, those two losses were Benavidez and Canelo, two of the best at the weight class at the time. But it's how he lost those fights and how he performed in those fights, which gives him the benefit of the doubt in the boxing world, where still, like, a loss does have some meaning, and he can get himself right back into it. You know, he talks about Canelo. I don't see a Canelo Plant rematch, but I've seen crazier things. The Charlo fight is what they want to build towards. I think PBC obviously wanted to make the Plant Charlo fight a lot sooner than 2025, but that's because Jermall Charlo has had a litany of legal problems, mental problems, drinking problems, you know, getting stripped of his title. Came back in 2023, thought that was going to be his comeback, then sits out even, you know, again. He was supposed to fight this year, and he pulled out of that fight. He does the press conference, Charlo, on Zoom, and he starts off calm, and then it just explodes. It's just like, you don't know what you're going to get with this guy. 35 years old. He says he's in his prime, but I feel like that's just him talking himself into that.
Absolutely not in his prime.
But you know what you're going to get from Plant, and that's like a fan-friendly fight and a win. Charlo, he's a minus 1400 favorite. LaManna is not going to offer too much resistance, but he's just a wild card, Charlo. I think he'll win, but like he's an absolute wild card at this point.
There's more questions than anything with Charlo. He's probably the most questioned guy in the world. He's undefeated, dude. He's still undefeated. Like, it's crazy. Like, he's 35 years old. He's undefeated. Just a super, super talented guy, physical gifts, you name it, he's got it. But dude, this is not just a physical sport. It's a mental sport as well. And we're seeing that with him. And you never have answers for what's going on in someone's head. You're always speculating. You don't know what's going to happen. He's a bit of a ticking time bomb. So this show is a setup to see if he can get through a camp, get through a promotion, get into the ring. When he gets into the ring, dude, he's just going to fight. I was actually impressed with the Jose Benavidez fight for being out as long as he was and still showing the flashes of the brilliance that he was. They need to get him to the ring. That's it. He's going to go out there. He's going to do his thing. I agree. Thomas LaManna has no shot. He's too small. He's not ripe for this level. And Charlo's Charlo, man. Even a 60% Charlo is still a dangerous guy.
Yeah. He's not like 40. He's 35. He's still closer to his physical prime than not, in terms of like chronological age. The wear and tear, the drinking, the mental stuff, the trauma, divorces. I mean, that.
What weight is this fight at?
168, right?
It's 68. So, yeah, LaManna's best weight was 54, and he's 4-47. Like, this is.
Yeah. I'm happy he's getting the payday. Fully set up. I'm happy LaManna's getting the payday. From everything I've heard, he seems like a good dude. He's a Jersey guy.
No, he is. Great guy.
Jersey, Philly dude, Italian guy, cornflake, that whole aspect. What a nickname. 0-5 versus the higher level opponents for LaManna with three KO losses. He lost to Douglas, Dusty Hernandez, Jorge Cota, Brian Mendoza, and then that Lara neck punch that he said just set him back, his family back, he said. He put him into a dark place when he lost to Larry. He said, I cannot have that happen again, LaManna said. I can't. He said, I won't. That's interesting. You know, you always just like look at a knockout loss and we're just like, I wonder, move on to the next one. And you don't think about what it does to a fighter. Like, LaManna, when he said that, I was like, oh, wow. Like, his life kind of spiraled after that.
Listen, man, like I said, this is not just a physical sport. It's a mental sport as well. So there's a lot of mental health discussions happening these days. This is a tough business, man. Taking a loss in front of people, it's embarrassing. Losing is not just losing, it's embarrassing to lose because it's one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And depending on how you lose, I mean, that can definitely stick with you.
Yeah, I hope he puts up a good fight. Like Charlo, I want to see Charlo Plant, not the number one fight, I want to see Plant versus Berlanga. But if you tell me at the end of the year Plant's going to fight Charlo, I'm going to be pumped. I'm going to be hyped for it. But I hope LaManna puts up a good fight and pushes Charlo, because I think Charlo needs to be pushed a little bit. You know, Benavidez didn't push too much. I think that was more of a Charlo versus himself type of fight. This is another Charlo versus himself type of fight. But, you know, at one point, this guy had one of the best jabs in boxing, Charlo.
Yeah.
Turned himself into a puncher. Was one of the biggest names in the sport, him and his brother. I mean, his brother got the freaking Canelo fight. It sucks for Jamal, because it was always Jamal that was supposed to get Canelo. And is he younger? I don't know. His brother.
No, they're twins, buddy.
One of them came out first.
Well, yeah, I mean, do you really call twins, though, identical?
I'm sure whoever the younger one is, the older one has, just knowing how competitive they are.
At some point, be like, I came out first, bro.
One of them's got to be the younger brother.
I'm faster than you.
Well, one of them fights at a smaller weight, so therefore I made Charlo the older here. It was like, damn, my little brother got Canelo, and I didn't because of all my out-of-the-ring issues.
Oh, so made a lot of money, by though. Size. Okay. Yeah.
Those Charlos made a lot of money. Considering they haven't, you know, really fought too many. I mean, the Canelo one's the sweepstakes for Jamal. Had the Derevchenko. He looked really good against Derevchenko. I think that was his peak, right?
That was peak, I mean, Charlo. That was the best performance against the highest level competition. No one did to Derevchenko what Charlo did.
And Derevchenko wasn't washed at that point.
No, not at all. Derevchenko was a nightmare for absolutely everyone except for Charlo. Charlo handled him.
That was a bubble fight. That was September 2020. Charlo beats him 116-112, 118-110, 117-111 from Steve Weisfeld, who I think is one of the best judges in boxing. That was a surgical beatdown.
Yep.
And that was very impressive. Charlo's peak. Then he fights Montiel in June of 2021. Didn't look great there. Looked okay. What am I saying? He looked okay. Then the problems come. Doesn't fight again until Benavidez Jr. Takes 2 years off from Montiel to Benavidez. And now, I mean, the plant fight is what they're pushing for. So we'll see how Charlo looks. See his timing. We'll see his mentals. We'll dissect everything. The pre-fight interviews, his timing in the ring, his jab, is it still one of the best jabs? And with Plant, I think it's going to be a shootout early. I think Plant showed that in the McCombie fight, that he showed a new wrinkle, right? He's willing to fight stand inside, and trade. He was dropped. McCombie dropped Plant. I think a lot of people
should have been scored two knockdowns. He dropped the one for official, but it should have been two. But yeah, no, he dropped him. He hurt him. He had his legs hurt. That's one of the reasons why Plant had to stand his ground and walk forward and fight on the inside, because his legs were rocked. He couldn't move the way he normally can. And he dogged it out and did, I mean, very, very impressive.
Yeah, Resendez gave Elijah Garcia all he could handle. That was September 2023. That was an awesome fight for 8 or 9 rounds. So I think Resendez, this is a bigger fight for Resendez than Elijah Garcia. This is a main event on Amazon Prime against a big name in the sport. So I think, and he's Mexican, and he's going to come out and he's going to make it a fight for however long it lasts. If Plant gets a knockout, which I think he will, or stop late TKO stoppage, I think it's going to be my pick, then that's great. And if Charlo wins, then I'm sure they're going to get them in the ring. I'm sure there's going to be some of that, but it's not as hot of a fight as it was, but still serviceable fight for Plant if he gets Charlo in there.
Yeah. Lost a little luster for sure, but as we get closer to it, I'm going to be excited about it. It's the rollout for that should be big.
Kermel Mouton is also on this card, who is one of the best prospects in the sport.
Like him.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. I talked to Brian Campbell. He's on the call. He's nice. Excited. It's at Michelob BC. Ultra. I love BC. Michelob Ultra Arena, a smaller venue. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to be tuned in. I'm going to be – this got a lot going. Like I said, Plant, some big fight – a big fight down the line potentially. This is a Plant.
More excited hat, after talking to you, I'm more excited after talking to you about it. I think people should tune into our shows to get excited for fights that they're not even excited for, and okay, see the silver linings of every matchup.
Yeah, everyone says that you know, Dan, you're just trying to sell it. I don't get anything out of this besides just
– yeah, again, back to what you said before. When you're a sellout, you're normally making something. You're not making shit.
Ellie Sekberg.
We're selling boxing, baby. We love our sport.
Sorry, Ali Sekberg, for that tirade, but I don't understand your business model.
You were talking. I was just going to do one of these.
Do you like him that much? I didn't know.
I do like Ali. Ellie's he's a friend of mine. I like Ali. Again, I don't really follow his stuff, so
you don't see his tweets.
No, exactly. I'm you're a much better person when you're not reading tweets.
Yeah, you're right. I got to delete it.
No, you have to do it. You have to handle it for both of us. You have to be locked in. This is your life, dude.
Some guy today, even himself, I tweeted a picture of my podcast setup. Like, hey, this is how I do the little behind the scenes. This guy, Jonathan Navarro. I love this pod. Also, can't wait to hear Chris Algieri. Funny thing is, he will never see this tweet on Jaime McGee.
Nice.
Yeah. So he even, like, John knows that you're not on Twitter. You're not going to, like, you have to fire Twitter and see how many notifications you have. Because your last tweet was August 3rd, 2024.
And I can't believe it was that recent.
It was a DraftKings thing that I made.
Oh, okay. That's why.
Yeah. Your last couple tweets are just strictly podcast stuff. A pro box mixed in there.
And I think a lot of, like, it's like, I think they're forwarded from my Instagram and shit too, but whatever.
You scroll down a little bit on your Twitter. Not that far of a scroll. I went one little scroll, and it's April 23rd, reaction to Javonta Davis stopping Ryan Garcia. So that's how little you tweet.
Nice.
Keep it up, man. It's impressive.
Yeah, keep up the
non-tweeting, because it's, keep up the streak. A cesspool. It's an absolute cesspool. It
absolutely is.
This guy on Twitter just today said, "What do you know about boxing? You've never taken a punch." And I said, saying I've forgotten.
To you?
Yeah. I said, I've forgotten more than you know. Love that line.
Nice.
Yeah. Put him in his
forgotten
place.
More than you. I've forgotten more about this sport than you know.
Yeah.
Than you'll
that,
ever
man.
Know.
Take that. Take Enjoy that. The weekend. Enjoy the fights. We'll be back on Monday to break them all down. I'm sure there'll be more cockamamie things to come along the boxing timeline that we will discuss. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs. Good night and goodbye.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.